This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
10, 9. The following program is a show intended for an adult audience. Our discussions are of a sexual nature and may contain coarse language and references to drugs.
Change the scheme, alter the mood. Electrify the boys and girls, if you'd be so kind.
Request level 1 satellite visual surveillance.
NSA Eagle Eye 1 track set, reassignment protocol for...
My God.
Wow.
I like this.
What? What the fuck?
'Cause you're a fake.
I wanna do bad things with you.
You're with Dean Beck on Hide and Seek.
Good evening and welcome to Hide and Seek. It's your show for getting off. It's your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. And the person I like to do that with, well, one of the people I like to do that with, is Andrew the Apprentice. Welcome.
Hello, how are you going?
Yeah, good. Very good, thank you. We got a bit of a boomer tonight.
Massive show.
It is my great pleasure to announce that we will be joined by one of the world's number one sex educators. Tristan Tormino is here in Australia. She landed earlier today and she's coming to Melbourne next week for a series of educational seminars, and we get to talk to her tonight. She is a very famous feminist porn producer.
Exactly. Sex educator, author.
TV show presenter. She's in big demand all around the world. University campuses love her. And she's lots of fun.
Hide and seek.
Proudly sponsored by the store with the hottest in leather, rubber, lifestyle gear.
Manhouse.com.au.
Manhouse.com.au.
Hide and seek.
Ooh, it's so good, it's so good, it's so good.
Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Hide and Seek. Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice. I'm celebrating 12 months on air with you. And it is my great pleasure to introduce one of the world's greatest sex educators. She is a legend in the field. Her name, Tristan Tormino. Thank you for joining us on Hide and Seek.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome to Australia. You've pretty much just landed, have you not?
I have just landed. I'm a little jet lagged and confused about what time it is, but I'm going to recover soon.
Tristan, how did you fall into telling people how to have better sex?
Well, I was supposed to go to law school.
Oh, that didn't work.
And that didn't work out for me. And I, you know, really it was because of a good teacher who saw my passion for writing about sex and, you know, pointed me in that direction. Sometimes we don't see what we're supposed to be doing right away, but other people see it in us. And the first time I got up in a room full of strangers and talked about sex, it was like a light bulb went off and said, this is what you were meant to do.
Are you good at it or just good at talking about it?
Oh, I'm good at it. Yeah. Well, because I've, you know, researched it and done a lot of different things. So I would say I have a large skill set.
Because you call yourself an author, a columnist, a sex educator, a college lecturer, and a feminist pornographer. Is it one of those words that you use predominantly to describe yourself?
Which word?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I would say sex educator, because I feel like whether I'm writing a book or an article, whether I'm making a film, whether I'm teaching a workshop or giving a lecture, to me it all falls under the umbrella of sex education. Because really what I want people to do is fulfilling, satisfying, empowered sex lives.
Now, you do that without the airy-fairy, ungunga-ding-ding-gung incense. You're a little bit more kinky than that.
Well, I'm from the East Coast of the United States. I'm from New York. So the airy-fairy does not...
What, they're all filthy fuckers in New York, or what's the story?
Well, I think it has a little bit of an edge. You know, I'm a born and bred New Yorker, and so I'm a little more direct and a little less woo-woo.
And the flower power stays in San Fran,
yeah,
is that right?
Yeah. And I'm
Shut up
kinky.
And fuck me!
I mean, I'm kinky in the way that I'm personally kinky and, you know, feel affinity with the kink community, but also I feel like people need to embrace their inner perverts. Everyone thinks that someone else is more normal, quote unquote, than they are. And I'm just here to tell you that I know the details of people's sex lives because they tell me them every day. And there's no such thing as normal sex.
Who wants normal sex?
I know. It's not something to aspire to.
No. I couldn't think of anything worse. Your dalliances, though, have spread far and wide. You are pretty much into, or have tried, anything and everything.
Pretty much, yeah. But for science. I mean...
Of course, my dear.
Is
it science or art?
Say it again?
Is it science or art?
It's a little bit of both.
Fair enough.
But I think, you know, there's something about trying all of these things that I feel like I can better talk to people. I mean, you know, when people say, oh, well, there's these sex experts in the States like Dr. Ruth Westheimer, you know, when Dr. Ruth talks about the G-spot, I'm not convinced that she's found the G-spot of, like, hundreds of women. And I'm here to tell you that I have. And so I feel like I speak from a different place, you know, that I've actually gotten in there and found people's G-spots and simulated them. And so I've got a different set of information to sort of share with you because of that.
Is there anything that you've done that you've gone, okay, I've tried it and it's not for me?
No. Because here's the thing, is that there's something about everything that I see the appeal in. And I'm actually interested to kind of go through it and talk to people who are really into it. I'm just fascinated by people who are articulate about their sexuality, who can tell you exactly why something turns them on and what they get out of it. And so it's all sort of endlessly fascinating. None of it is an absolute turn off for me.
You're a real sex geek, really, aren't you?
I am. I am a sex geek. I'm a sex nerd. It's pretty stimulating intellectually as well as carnally.
You are a feminist porn producer. Porn gets a bad rap from many in not just the religious groups, but many feminists.
Mm-hmm.
What is your empowered argument with regards to feminist porn?
Well, first of all, I think the anti-porn feminists have a pretty one-dimensional view of porn. You know, they call porn this one thing. They say all porn is degrading, all porn is misogynistic, all porn is objectifying. And whenever they say that, and I'll say this to their faces, I think to myself, you haven't watched enough porn. I mean, there is so much porn out there, and it's incredibly diverse. There really is something for everyone. So first and foremost, I think we need to really critically look at their arguments, which are deeply flawed. And then I think that I'm part of this growing movement, which it really is. It's not just a genre. It is actually a movement of feminist porn, and that's really trying to do something different. I mean, my porn is ethically made. It involves a great deal of collaboration with the performers who are empowered to participate in their own representation, to do what they want, not do what they don't want, pick their partners, and really shake up the ways in which we think about sex and not get so focused on sticking to a kind of a boring formula or script.
Is feminist porn... Just a straight male is going to like feminist porn, for example?
Yes. that's another, you know, myth that feminist porn is going to be sort of boring and, again, maybe woo-woo. But the truth is, you know, one of the keys to feminist porn is addressing things that have been underrepresented in mainstream porn. And one of those key things is women's pleasure and real, authentic female orgasm.
Yeah, but you got to find that G-spot first, don't you? Not that I'm an expert in it, but anyway.
The thing is, I have so many fans of my work that are men and say, I love to see women who are clearly enjoying themselves, who don't look coerced or bored or checked out, and who are having these amazing, mind-blowing orgasms that are obviously authentic. I mean, I think men like to see women getting off, and that's missing from a lot of porn.
You be very careful. You'll start revolutionizing the world.
Well, that's my goal, you know, one feminist porn movie at a time.
Our guest is Tristan Tormino. She is an author of 8 books, international sex educator, and the queen of queer kink.
Hide and seek.
Shut up, babe, and fuck me rich.
The most diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice with you on Hide and Seek. We are blessed to have Tristan Tormino as our special guest. And she's coming to Melbourne next week for a series of seminars for both Pleasure Salon Melbourne and Eagle Leather. But we'll get to those shortly. Tristan, you're one of those rare people like myself that loves a bloody good fisting. Now, what is with this growing genre of straight men that like to be fisted?
Well, first, let me say that this growing movement of straight men who love to be receiving anal sex is alive and well in the States, and I think it's becoming a worldwide phenomenon, and I think it's just fantastic. I want there to be more straight-identified men who are out and proud about loving anal pleasure. And certainly some of those guys are into anal fisting. I mean, anal fisting is sort of one of my specialties. Really, it's an intense experience all the way around. There is nothing like having your hand inside someone or having someone's hand inside you. I mean, I think it's just one of the most deep, intimate, intense experiences that we can have. It's every time I do it, I'm like moved to another place. It really is amazing.
Couldn't agree more. What about rough sex? What's that about?
Well, you know, I think that there was a time when there was a very fixed kind of leather community of people who are into BDSM, and I think that the borders of that are really becoming more fluid, and there's people who are in the kink scene, people who identify with fetish, and rough sex to me, I think, is more inclusive. People don't have to feel like I need to be a member of the leather community to, you know, explore the edges of pain and pleasure, to do role play.
But there's a difference between that and beating the crap out of each other.
Well, the thing is, you can beat the crap out of each other, but it has to be consensual. And for some people, that line between pain and pleasure is different in a sexual context, in an erotic context. And so people process pain in different ways and experience it in different ways. So I don't even think pain is a good description, because for people who like pain, it doesn't feel like pain. It feels really good.
Do you need to know the skills and techniques before you go into the fantasy?
Oh, my God. Absolutely. I mean, I think that's why there's...
Great question, Andrew. Well done.
There's a huge educational component within BDSM communities. You know, I just came from an event, International Ms. Leather, in San Francisco, where, in fact, Australia was well represented and had a contestant who was sponsored by Eagle Leather. And there were so many classes, and they ranged everything from, you know, how to be a good daddy to how to set someone on fire safely to, you know, flogging 101. And I think that there's a commitment among people who are kinky to learn these skills, learn how to do them safely before they get into it.
There should be a commitment of more people who are skilled in this area to share their knowledge.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that that does exist. There is a mentoring in the community and people passing on their knowledge and teaching skills, and that's really important. Obviously, it's part of the whole culture. That whole subculture is learning from more experienced people.
Because you run retreats, don't you?
Yes, I used to produce retreats. I've stopped doing the production, although the events continue, simply because I've just gotten too busy with other things.
Also, after that, the workshops like the ones you're running next week and this week in Sydney, they're a good way for people to learn about how to do things correctly.
Absolutely. And I feel really thankful that, you know, I've connected with Pleasure Salon Melbourne, because I think it's a fantastic group, and Cindy is doing amazing work to really bring together people from all aspects of the sex-positive community and bring them together for intelligent and really great discussions around sexuality.
Your Wednesday night seminar, which still has some tickets available.
Yes, because my Thursday night is sold out.
Isn't that great?
People. Sorry. The
Wednesday night subject, tell us what you'll be covering in that.
Well, this is kind of a greatest hits of mine. I'm really going to take you back to the very beginning of how I started out thinking I wanted to go to law school and then became a sex educator. And I'm going to give you some juicy details about working at the Village Voice, working in porn, why I identify as a feminist pornographer, and talking about the many varied adventures I've had with swingers, strippers, drag kings, porn stars, Howard Stern. You know, there's a lot to cover, and I'm going to try to encapsulate it. And, of course, take questions from the audience and give them advice and, lead everyone towards, hopefully, a better sex life.
Well, that event on the Wednesday night still has some tickets available. Go to pleasuresalonmelbourne.wordpress.com for more information, and it starts at 7:30.
Yes.
However, you are also doing a very specialist seminar at Eagle Leather, and it's called The Art of Service. And you're doing this in you're doing a two-hander, if I might say so, with your partner, Colton.
Yes. So we actually just came from doing a service intensive in San Francisco. It was a three-hour class. This is a shorter version. It starts at 7:30, April 13th. And I think there are tickets still available, but space is limited.
Yeah, there's only 20 seats available, so
right,
there must only be a couple of seats
left, yeah. And for me, one of my kinks is dominant submission and dominant submissive relationships. And so I love to talk about receiving service, how to give better service, and really share kind of our personal philosophies. We've been in a DS service dynamic for 11 years, and I feel like we have a lot of experience and want to kind of share some of our challenges, some of our success stories, and what we think it means to give good service and get good service.
And your partner, Colton, if I'm correct, is the submissive in this play.
He is the service. We consider our DS dominant / service, because he actually doesn't identify as submissive.
Uh-huh.
He identifies as service-oriented, so we're going to talk about that.
Great.
You don't have to be submissive to be service-oriented.
Absolutely, and that's a very important distinction to make.
Yes.
That, you can find out more information by going to Eagle Leather's website, eagleleather.com.au. Tristan, Andrew has one more question.
No, I was just going to say, Dean, that obviously, in case we've been going through this conversation and people haven't quite picked up, Tristan, you describe yourself as queer. That's your preferred term. It's an interesting term, because here in Australia, I'm not sure in the States, it's somewhat a controversial term sometimes in the gay community.
Oh, the poofs hate it.
You hate it?
Well, no, well, yeah. Look, it's growing on me because it's a collective and better than all of those letters thrown in together.
Right.
Whereas others see it as
derogatory.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I think partly it's generational. I came of age as a young baby dyke in the 90s at the height of Queer Nation, which I was a member of, and ACT UP, and all of this pretty radical direct action politics. And so for me, queer is all-encompassing, but it also speaks to my political point of view. And I just think it feels the most natural to me. It feels the most descriptive because I think it does encompass a lot of different things. And to me, being queer is not just about who I love, who I have relationships with, who I have sex with. It's my culture, it's my community, it's my politics, it's the way in which I see the world.
And that's how we've got to identify ourselves with words that mean something to us.
Absolutely.
It's clearly a lot more than anything but heterosexual.
Yes, exactly. And so I in fact think that more and more these kind of categories are just so flexible and malleable, and it feels like a word that I think some kinky people are quite queer because they are queering their sex lives and they're queering their identities. And so it's not so much about whose gender is sleeping with who else's gender. It's more about really challenging these norms, challenging these ideas about what everyone should be doing and, you know, what they shouldn't be doing. So I feel like it's an in-your-face, I'm here to shake things up and I'm not going to just follow the leader kind of thing.
Tristan Taormino, thank you so much for joining us on Hide and Seek this evening. Enjoy your time in Sydney and we will catch you next week at both Pleasure Salon and Eagle Leather.
I can't wait to come to Melbourne. Thank you so much.
You're with Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice. This is Hide and Seek on Joy.
And enjoy the ride.
Hide and Seek.
Do you like having your boundaries pushed?
Has Joy gone completely mad?
Join me, Andrew the Apprentice.
And me, Dean Beck, for 2 hours of sexploration that's guaranteed to open your mind.
Hide and Seek, every Thursday from 9 p.m. on Joy 94.9.
Hide and Seek.
Brought to you by Joy sponsor Manhouse, where trade membership is free and very rewarding.
Manhouse.com.au.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.